for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 23rd, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on deliverance prayers.
Well, this will be a word from heaven because I lost all my notes. It was so demonic. It all disappeared off the iPad. I spent 2 hours looking on all the inbox, on the internet, on my iPad, on the telephone, all the sin, all the trash, and it totally disappeared. Isn't that interesting? But praise God, I didn't panic. I thought, God, you must be going to do something here, so... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We exalt you. We thank you that you're the teacher, that you're the king, that you're the Lord. You're the commander in chief. And Lord, I just want to be your vessel. I ask for you to download me with whatever you want, Lord. And Lord, I ask that rivers of living water will come forth from my innermost being. Father, I pray the eyes of all of our understanding will be enlightened. Lord, that you'll let us know what is the hope of our calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your Lord, your love toward us. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. Lord, I pray even if I say it wrong, you'll say it right. Yeah. Father, I pray that if our ears want to hear it wrong, they'll hear it right because of the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the words that have come forth from this meeting, Lord. I thank you for the word we heard this morning, the life-transforming word, the one we heard last night. We thank you for Carla's messages. God, we thank you for what Nikki's going to bring forth tonight. God, we just thank you that we are a part. Each of us have a part to complete your part. And, Lord, we just thank you. We ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. We ask you to loose your mighty warring angels into this place. We bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We declare all traffic is one way where Jesus sends it. Lord, we pray a hedge of protection around the children. We declare that every demon that leaves the parents leaves the children in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. And we thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. We take our seat in the heavenly places. And we thank you, Lord, that we rule and reign in Jesus' name. And we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in the heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. We forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. This meeting, Merrill, Barbara, Patty, Kevin, all the workers of this camp, every person that's here, and our family members in Jesus' name. We just pray a special covering of warrior angels around us and over us to boomerang back on the enemy, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over us, not to kill them, hurt them, harm them, but so they'll fear God and turn away from evil. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I'm going to do several things, I think, unless the Lord changes my mind. But first of all, for us to sow and reap good things, we have to have good soil. Is that correct? In the parable of the sower, it gives four kinds of soil, and you're one of those four kinds of soil. And the first soil, it said, Jesus gives this parable, that the sower goes out to sow the word, and of course the word, it's the word of the seed of the word of God. And the first, it falls beside the road, which represents a person that hears it and says, ah, I don't believe that. The second one, it says, he receives the word with joy, or he receives the word among thorns, and the worries and the cares and the pleasures of this world choke out the word. And then the next soil, it represents a person with a hard heart, and it says, the seed was sown on hard ground, and it says because of persecution of the word, it came up, the seed came up, but because the soil was hard, it said when the sun hit it, it fainted and withered away. And in Jesus, and it says in the fourth soil was the seed was sown on good soil, and that soil produced fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And then Jesus explained the parable to the disciples, and he said the first seed was sown among thorns, which represents a person that loves the riches and the pleasures. The riches and the pleasures and the desire for other things choke out the word. And the third seed fell on hard ground, which represents a person that received the word with joy. Oh, he didn't want to go to hell. He believed it. He received it. But then it goes on in either in, there's three places that it's in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. In one of those parables, it says, because of the persecution of the word, he fell away. Now, that's a picture of a person that receives the word with joy, and he's excited about the word, but when he discovers that he has to die to his flesh, or forgive, and let go of his anger, the word of God persecutes him. And because he don't want to obey, it says he falls away, and his heart becomes hard. You know, it says in Hebrews 4, today when you hear my voice, don't harden your heart. And so, and then the soil, the seed that fell among thorns was a picture of a person that received the word, but he desired other things. And because of that, the weeds and the thistles and the thorns chirped out the word. Now in Hosea 10, it says, Ephraim is a trained heifer. He said he loves to thresh. And God says, I'm going to come upon his neck with a fair yoke. And Ephraim means, it's a word for the church, but Ephraim means double fruit. Produced and trying to produce fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil. Both ways. In that parable, I mean, in that passage in Hosea, it says that Judah plows and Jacob harrows. So Judah means praise, and we break up the fallow ground. It tells us to sow with a view to righteousness, to break up the fallow ground. Fallow ground is ground that's gotten hard and been laid up, not producing anything. So God tells us to break it up. And of course, praise breaks it up, repentance breaks it up, and Jacob harrows. But Ephraim says Ephraim, which is a picture of double fruit, a church member that believes in his head, but he's not producing anything for God. It says he loves to tread, which means he tramples down his soil and makes it harder. He hardens his heart. And so for us to sow to the Spirit, we have to have repentance and praise and all the things that Van shared this morning, but we have to have good soil, and so we have to break up the fallow ground. And it says to sow with a view to righteousness. It says in Proverbs, a man who sows righteousness gets a true reward. And so you have to have good soil. And the fourth soil is the soil that receives the seed, produces fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Jesus tells us in that parable, when the disciples asked him what it meant, he told him that the first soil, that the devil, the birds of the air come and steal the word because of unbelief and because of doubt. And how many times do we have the word of God stolen in our life? The message that I was going to teach, a whole message on, was on a root of bitterness. And you see, it tells us in Hebrews to pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man will see the Lord. And in the King James, it says, without holiness, no man will see the Lord. God tells us to be holy as he's holy, to be righteous as he's righteous. And the way we do that is to yield to Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. We can do nothing to earn it. But when we offer our lives to God as a living sacrifice, the blood that's poured out is the perfect blood of Jesus. With all of our mess, God looks on the heart, and we look on the outward appearance. God looks on a heart that wants to yield to Him and say, God, you know, I'm a mess. You're going to have to fix me. And so in Hebrews 12, it says, to pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man will see the Lord. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And then he goes on and says, see to it that no root of bitterness takes you over, and by many be defiled. And so in that soil, we can produce a root of bitterness. And in Revelation 9, it talks about a star falling, and the star was wormwood, and that was another name for Lucifer. And so when the things you go through, you'll either get better or bitter depending on how you respond to the circumstances. And so it tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, Deuteronomy, he said, I took you out into the wilderness to test you, to prove you, to see what was in your heart. And you know, it's that testing that causes us to see, if we're wise, what's really down in our heart. God knows what's in our heart, but He wants us to see what's down in our heart. And so, you have a choice when you go through things to allow those circumstances to produce righteousness in you, to produce holiness in you. But when you don't deal with your sin or the things God's showing you His way, then you come short of the throne of grace and you receive a root of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 3, I believe, it says there's a throne of grace we can go to. At the throne of grace, we get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected at the throne of grace. For us to approach the throne of grace, we have to humble ourselves, because it's the humble that get grace. And bitterness, as it's been said here by Sandy and also Carla, that bitterness is like drinking poison and waiting for someone else to die. And so when someone hurts you and you let the sun go down in your anger, if you don't turn to God and deal with it, you're turning to a promise, which becomes a false god you're turning to. Would you agree that when you go through a trial, if you let the sun go down in your anger and you don't go to God, you're turning to something else? For example, if Carla hurts my feelings before I leave this meeting, I've got the sun down to deal with that. But say I just think, yeah, I'm just not going to talk to her anymore. I'm just not going to share my heart with her. I'm not going to be open and transparent with her. Oh, okay. That's okay. But if I don't go to God with it, I turn to something else. That vow I make becomes, that promise I make becomes a false god. And see, and then it becomes a root of bitterness down in my heart. And so you can be bitter or better depending on what you yield to in the midst of your pain. And so it tells us in Ephesians not to let the sun go down on our anger, because we give a foothold to the devil. And so when we let the sun go down on our anger through unforgiveness, then the next day it's bitterness, and bitterness will absolutely kill you. I had a testimony I was going to get someone to read. But a lady had gone through all kinds of physical problems, spent millions, thousands of dollars with doctors, and nobody could help her. She was in constant pain, and it all boiled down to unforgiveness towards someone who had murdered her father-in-law, who she loved so much. But that root of bitterness took root. And when it takes root in our life, it's going to come out of our mouth and defile other people. You can receive a root of bitterness by letting someone else defile you. You know, spreading rumors, spreading slander. You're defiling people with your own root of bitterness, because what's in the heart comes out the mouth. And so what's been stored down in our hearts as children, there are things that are hidden beneath the surface. We can be as repentant as we know how to be, but there's lots of unresolved issues that we don't even see, because sanctification takes a lifetime. And so, to forgive, how many of you said, because you know you need to forgive, you said, I forgive, I choose to forgive. But the next day, you're still arguing with them in your head. Or 2 weeks later, you're still arguing with them in your head. Or a month later, you're still thinking, I can't believe I'm around. the Lord showed me how to forgive some years back. I had lunch with somebody, and we got in a disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. And so I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive her for everything you don't like about this particular person. So I did, and I found forgiveness was easy because it was a heart issue. Now, there's other times people say, Jerry, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. And I'll say, for what? I heard Van say something like that. Well, you know what you're talking about. Well, you know, when I said this, I didn't pay any attention to it because it wasn't a heart issue. But when it's raining on your parade and pushing your button, it's a heart issue. It's something that's raw. A button pusher is something that's a raw place down in your heart that don't heal. And the reason it's there is because in your pain, you let the sun go down on your anger and you turn to a false god. Instead of turning to the true and living God, you turn to a false god and you're going to stay lacerated in your heart. You know, all those raw places, those sore places, those touchy places in your heart is rooted in idolatry. Some place that you didn't go to God, you turn to a false god. And so we think, well, I don't worship Diana and I don't worship Dagon and I don't worship Beelzebub. But you know, our false gods are, you've got to love me, you've got to accept me, you've got to listen to me, you've got to value me, you've got to treat me with royally. You can't reject me. And you see, when you let the sun go down in your anger, if you don't go to God with it and forgive whoever hurt you, you're going to turn to a promise, which becomes a false god, and then that sets in motion forces that cause you to keep on reaping the same old thing. And so, you know, if you say, this always happens to me, that always happens to me, you know it's a reaping because you're going to reap what you sow. And I thought that was so wonderful, this teaching today of us sowing to the spirit man. It was a totally different approach from what we've heard, and it was so good. I believe it was life-changing for me. But the way we forgive is to go back to heart issues. If you easily can forgive just like that, it's not a heart issue. But if you say the words, which forgiveness is a choice, it's not an emotion. But when you say the words and it doesn't go away, or maybe it goes away for a day, but then it comes back, you know, it's a heart issue, and that's how you forgive. That's why up here you're trying to forgive things on the surface up here, and you can't do it because it's rooted down here in something that happened to you in your childhood. That's why it's so important to forgive your mother and father. And so I think the first thing I want to do is to have you stand up, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to show you every person you have not forgiven, every person that gets a rise out of your heart. You know, you can feel it. When you think of a person that is causing kind of acid reflux or indigestion or thinking, I don't like that person. And you don't have to like anybody, but you do have to forgive and you have to love them. Because Jesus said the whole law is of the whole Bible, God's whole law. You don't keep the letter of the law anymore, but now you keep the spirit of the law, which is to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your body, and your neighbor as yourself. Loving fulfills God's law. And so the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And so God says his banner over us is love. So I ask you, pray with me, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me every person that I have not forgiven. Show me every negative thing about my mother and father, things I don't like about them. And let me just tell you, if you judge your mother and daddy for a particular area and you don't deal with it, then when you get out in the world, you'll reap it through bosses, through authority figures. You're going to get the same treatment. If you're a woman, you marry your husband, your authority, you will be reaping through your husband. Wherever authority is, you're going to reap the same thing until you deal with the judgments you make on your mother and father. So, Lord, search my heart and test my thoughts and let me know the truth that sets me free. Show me every negative thing that I need to forgive about my mother and father and about anyone, Lord, in Jesus' name. And let me say this. You can say, I forgive my mother and father. You can say that, and God appreciates that. But every violation of the Word of God is an issue you have to forgive. God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So wherever a father or mother violates the Word of God in training you up, you automatically have an issue, whether you realize it or not. Because they either train you up in the way you should go, or they provoke you to anger, one of the two. So Lord, in Jesus' name, show me every person I need to forgive. And if it's somebody in the presence you need to forgive and you're having a problem, trace that back to mom and dad. I think this has already been said, but Matthew 18 says, when you don't forgive, you turn over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor who was a jailer who would stretch someone out on a rack and torture them until they get what they want. And that they do that in the occult all the time. They have inquisitors. So in Jesus' name, and so Lord, in Jesus' name, I choose by an act of my will. And I thank you, Lord, that I don't have to feel like it. I don't really have to want to. But Lord, I love you so much. I choose to forgive because I need to be forgiven. In Jesus' name. Now I break soul and I forgive my mother and father for doing the same thing to me in the present that these people have done to me. In Jesus' name, I sever every cord of control linking their soul and their human spirit to my soul and human spirit. I send back their soul and spirit to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now every demon of torment, it means the pain of disease, all spirits of disease, sickness, has to go now in Jesus' name. I command the tormentors to go. I command the familiar spirits of every person they judge to leave now in Jesus' name. And I command the image of the ones who offended them or hurt them has to go in Jesus' name. I come against bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, hatred, malice, reviling, revenge, grudges. I break in Jesus' name and I command you to go now in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You know, it tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that if we, to make friends with our opponent quickly at law, unless we're turned over to the judge, which James says the judge is God. There's one lawgiver and one God. And then the judge turns you over to the officer, which is the demon, and you be thrown in a prison, which is a spiritual prison. And so, Lord, forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger and put myself in a spiritual prison. And, Lord, in Jesus' name, you said I won't come out of there till I pay up the last cent, which is forgive. And I do forgive, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that I'm doing myself a favor when I forgive. In Jesus' name, all spirits of unforgiveness, forgive me for vowing I'll never forgive you. And Lord, I forgive my mother and father for not having a forgiving heart. All the way back in the generations, the spirit of unforgiveness, the vows that have been made that we'll never forgive, we break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, a fainting spirit is... it comes in when you, because you have a perverted image of God. A person with a fainting spirit is a person that maybe is having a happy day and he's like one of these little paper airplanes sailing through the air, but the minute a trial comes, he goes clunk and he takes a nosedive. And it tells us in Hebrews 12 that when we're disciplined to not lose heart, and it goes on to say that we're not to faint when we go through a trial. And so if you're a fainter, you do good until you have a problem, and then you crash and have a nosedive. And that comes in through a perverted image of God. Because how you see, until God heals you, the way you see your mother and Father is how you see God unconsciously. See, you have to get through how you see God if you ever want to get healed, because He's the only one that can heal you. Some of you that grew up with brothers and sisters, and maybe that your parents showed favor to them, in adulthood, how that would affect you is you would come to someone else for prayer because God does it for them, but He don't do it for you. That would be why you wouldn't go to God directly. You go to someone else thinking they have power because you grew up with parents that showed partiality. God says He is no respecter of persons. He has a throne of grace you can go to, and in His throne of grace you get strengthened, confirmed, established, and perfected. But if you don't go to His throne of grace, you come short of the grace of God, you receive a root of bitterness, and you faint, you crash and burn. So I want you to stand up again, and I want you to ask the Lord. Like, for example, if you never feel like that you never have any direction from God, if you come to me and say, you know, I just don't feel like I ever get any direction, that tells me that your mother and father didn't direct you. I taught at a girls' home the other day, and I said, how many of you grew up with your daddies? Not one of them put their hand up. They were all from broken homes. None of them had a daddy. You know, the Bible says the glory of children is their fathers. And if you had a father, and even if you had a stepfather, he wasn't really your father. Your real father is the one that you got to take accountability for, your stepfather, but your real father, if you never knew him, he violated every scripture in the Word of God, because God says, fathers, train up your children in the way they should go. If you had a father, it means that you had an aura or a nimbus in the spirit realm. Angels and demons could see the aura. And it would be like the demons would say, you better leave him or her alone because they have a father. But if you didn't have a father, there's no aura, and the demons that can say, you can pick on him or her because she doesn't have a daddy. But let me tell you, God's the greatest daddy anybody could ever have. And He wants to be your daddy. So I want you to forgive your father for not being there if he wasn't there. If you had a good father, like Merrill had, thank God for him. Some of you had good fathers, but I bet you there's not over 3 or 4 people in this room that can say they had a good daddy. I thank God I had a good daddy. But not many people can say that. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my father that he was not my glory. Lord, I've been a victim my whole life. Been picked on, bullied, victimized, because I didn't have a daddy to protect me. And Lord, I have a perverted image of you. I have seen you just like I've seen my earthly father. No direction, no nurture, no love, no acceptance, not there. Didn't love me, didn't want me, abandoned me, rejected me, and whatever else. And I want you to forgive him for that, and then we're going to ask God to come be your glory and deliver you from a fainting spirit. And just sit down when you're through forgiving. And just as the Holy Spirit, show them one thing at a time they need to forgive their earthly father for. Lord, in Jesus' name, I renounce the lie that you're just like my earthly father or my authority figures that raised me. I renounce that lie. Lord, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you accept me. I thank you that you lead me in paths of righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. You lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you that you said the steps of a righteous man and woman are ordered by you. Thank you, Lord, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because your rod and staff comfort me. Thank you, Lord, that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Thank you, Lord, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your house forever.
Thank you, Lord, that because I dwell in your secret place and abide under your shadow and protection, Lord, no evil will befall me nor no plague will come near my dwelling. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you come? I forgive my dad for not being my glory. And I want you to lift your hands like a little child would lift to his parents and say, Father, I ask you to come and be my glory. Lord, would you let your glory come down upon him in the name of Jesus? And say, Lord, I receive your glory. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And Lord, we just make a declaration from this day forward that when the enemy, the demons see them, that they'll say, you better leave them alone because God is their Father. Lord, I ask you to let your glory come down upon each person in this room in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me. Pray with me. Forgive me for losing heart, giving up, quit, bailing out, receiving a root of bitterness. Lord, I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name, I come to your throne of grace for mercy and help in time of need. I humble myself before you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now I come against that fainting spirit in Jesus' name, unbelief and doubt. I come against every lie in Jesus' name that they have believed about God, that God is just like their earthly parents. I break the power of that lie in Jesus' name. Father, I bind up their broken heart. I command all hurt, pain, grief, sadness, sorrow go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I command a fainting spirit, giving up, quitting, giving up, bailing out, go in Jesus' name. I command you to leave them now in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Lord, you inhabit our praises. We say there's no God like you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Lord. Root of bitterness, we tear you out in Jesus' name. We command you to go in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You know, God says, count it all joy when you go through various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And you have needed endurance. We all do. And so we just thank you, Lord, that it's those who endure to the end, and by your grace, we're more than conquerors through him that loved me. Say that with me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I always triumph in Jesus' name. Through my God, I can do valiantly, for it is he who treads down my foes. Thank you, Lord, that the gates of the wicked bow down at my gates. Thank you that I have authority over all Satan's power, and nothing shall by any means injure me. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me the principles today of sowing and reaping. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for changing my life today. Lord, help us to put into practice what we've heard in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't want to be like Ephraim. We want to be like Judah. We want to break up our fallow ground, Lord. Lord, it's time to seek the Lord, and we do seek you, Lord, with our whole heart. Father, I thank you that you said you will find us. Find me when I seek for you with all my heart. And Lord, I pray that you change their soil conditions from hard, from thorns and thistles to good sandy loam, good healthy dirt in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that we have dominion over all the earth, over the fish that swim and the creeping things and crawling things, that we have dominion and we take dominion in Jesus' name. We praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God, that you're our Father. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Lord, you will never leave us or forsake us. You're our protector, Lord. You're our physician. You know, I accepted Jesus as my Savior years ago, but I only accepted him as my healer May 16th when I realized, hey, healing, the scripture that saved means saved, it means healed, delivered, it means made whole, it means preserved. And so, Lord, we thank you that we didn't do anything to deserve our salvation. We do nothing to deserve our healing. We praise you. We do like Van said, though, we're righteousness conscious, not sin conscious, but we keep our lives lined up with your word, and we repent in Jesus' name. I think the next thing that the Lord wants me to say is about an illegitimate curse. An illegitimate curse goes 10 generations in a curse of incest. Incest is when you have sex with a family member, a blood relative. when they even touch you in an inappropriate way. I had a girl once say, my daddy didn't molest me, but I knew he wanted to. See, that's spiritual rape right there. And so, incest is when you're touched or lusted after by a family member or sexually involved with a family member. And in a curse of illegitimacy, it says that an illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. Now, that's a spiritual place, and it's more real than this building. You can't see the sanctuary of the Lord, but it's a real place. And so that's why if you're under illegitimate curse, you always feel like you're on the outside looking in. And I never realized that I was under an illegitimate curse until 1989. I went to a healing school in Australia, and the Lord showed me that I was under an illegitimate curse. I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. Praise God, I don't feel that way anymore. But a child that's conceived illegitimately, he's conceived in rebellion, he's conceived in lust, he's conceived in shame, and there's a root of rejection. And that root of rejection will draw a person to be a man pleaser, be a person that fears man more than he fears God, because he's wanting to be accepted. And thank God he's delivered Sandy from all of that. She shared that she was an illegitimate child. You can be delivered, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So if you were conceived illegitimately, and in fact, you don't even have to be conceived illegitimately. I never dreamed that I was under an illegitimate curse, because my grandparents on both sides of my family were married together 50, 60 years. And I know my mother, I don't know about my daddy, but I know my mother was never into sexual sin. And I don't think my daddy was too much, because he was single from 2000 till 2008. And my daddy was so handsome that there was women everywhere wanting to call him. He wouldn't even answer the phone. And had he been a pervert, he would have been quick to answer the phone. One day he said, that little lady keeps calling me and I don't answer the phone. He said, she'd be over in the bed with you before you knew it. Anyway, when he went to this kind of retirement center, I said, Daddy, are all those little ladies trying to put the moves on you? He said, oh, Jerry. He said, all they do is eat. He said, every one of them's overweight. Anyway, that was just a little side thing about my dad. I miss my dad. But if stand up and let's ask the Lord where you could be under an illegitimate. In fact, I think probably everybody is, and we just don't even realize it because of the sins of the fathers. Because 10 generations, I think, and somebody can correct me, but I think it's like 2,044 fathers. Y'all know. Anyway, it just slips another day as you deal with it. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just want to take accountability for an illegitimate curse that I could be under. If I've conceived my children illegitimately, or if I was illegitimately conceived, I just want you to forgive your parents, forgive your forefathers. If you were incested or molested or had sex with a relative, I want you to ask God to forgive you and forgive them. If you were molested, ask God to forgive you forgive the molester. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive every person who's ever touched me in an inappropriate way or even wanted to. Forgive me for anyone I've ever touched in an inappropriate way or even wanted to. Forgive me for lust. Lord, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents and forefathers for conceiving their children and me out of wedlock. In Jesus' name, I forgive them for everything I heard them say when I was in the womb. Father, in Jesus' name, I renounce the root of rejection, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of lust, and the spirit of shame. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with my mother and father. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name. When I say spirit, I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about their human spirit. In Jesus' name, I command the curse of illegitimacy. Let me say this too. Blessings are carried out by angels, and curses are always carried out by demons. Where there's a curse, there's a demon, always, because curses are carried out by demons. Holy angels carry out the blessings. Bless the Lord, you, O my soul, his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over his word to perform it. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we break in the name of Jesus the illegitimate curse that's been on our life and on our children in the name of Jesus. We come against the root of rejection, the spirit of shame, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of lust in Jesus' name. We come against all the lies that were a mistake in Jesus' name. We break the power of man from pleasing spirits. We break the power of fear of man in Jesus' name. We break the snare of fear of man in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Now I want you to get a partner. Deborah, you come up here. Deborah's a doctor, too. She's a doctor that gave up a doctor.
Praise the Lord.
And that's the spiritual place you can't see with the human eye. Then you don't feel like you're on the outside looking in. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. For the little children, too. For the little children. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Welcome into the sanctuary of the Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God you are. Bless the Lord. Okay. How many of you felt it when you got pulled into the sanctuary of the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to feel on the outside looking in. Bless the Lord. Let's deal with sexual sin. I had a lady out in Michigan. She said, I've had a pain in my private parts ever since I had surgery. And I don't know where she had the surgery, but someplace on her private parts. And I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? And she said, yes. And I said, well, whoever you were involved sexually with is still up inside of you. So I said, I want you to repent through a soul tie. I want you to repent of every person you've ever been involved in sexually, and then don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. And when you're through, well, you know, it makes people feel more comfortable. Besides, I don't want to be defiled by all of that. And so so when she got through repentance, she said, I'm okay now. And I said, well, Lord, forgive me for sexual sin. Forgive me for, I break soul ties, and the pain immediately left. I had a man who'd been into homosexuality, and he emailed me and wanted to know. He said, I've got an excruciating pain in my rectum. Do you have any insight? I said, yes. Repent of anybody you've ever had anal sex with, especially someone that hurts you. And within 15 or 20 minutes, he emailed me back and said, the minute I broke soul ties with a particular person, he said, the pain left. You see, through soul ties, they're still on you wherever they violated you. Another lady in my prayer group, you can sit down just a minute. Another lady in my prayer group, she said, Jerry, I fell the other day and my face hurts. And I said, well, did anybody ever hit you in the face? And she said, well, I can't think of anybody. And so she said, but my parents, you had a little sister, and my little sister was very sickly, so mother and daddy kept her in their bedroom, and I tried to go in there and they slammed the door in my face. So we dealt with that, and she still wasn't healed. But anyway, later on that day, the lady that was in charge of the prayer group emailed me and said, when this particular lady, later on in the afternoon, remembered that some girls in high school slapped her, and she forgave them, and she was instantly healed. You see, if someone abuses you at any time in your life, and you let the sun go down on your anger, through a soul tie, wherever they hurt you, they're still there. Does that make sense? I've seen more people heal through breaking soul ties than any other thing. So, okay, well, stand up and ask the Lord, in Jesus' name, bring to my remembrance every sexual encounter I've ever had, going back as far as I can remember. And Lord, even though I'm forgotten, your Holy Spirit has never forgotten. So I ask, Lord, for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you please show me every person I've ever sexually or animal to, and this includes pornography too, that I've ever looked at pornography or any person I've ever been sexually involved with, or any animal I've ever been involved with. And this can be just playing doctor when you were a little kid, just touching somebody where you shouldn't have. So Lord, it search my heart and test my thoughts and let me know the truth, Lord. This sets me free. Show me every experience that I need to repent of and ask you to forgive me. Before you repent, I want to share an incident the other day. A precious lady had been called me from someplace, and she had been molested constantly by her daddy, by her uncle, by her brothers, just did it in sexual sin. Well, she got delivered. I took her through deliverance, or somebody, she'd gotten some freedom, but she got enough freedom that she wasn't interested in sex with her husband anymore. And so he was upset about that because he'd been into pornography himself, or he'd been into looking at stuff he shouldn't looked at. And so she called me the other day, and so I did deliverance on her over the telephone, and then I explained to her and her husband the reason she's probably normal now, because she doesn't have all the demons of whoever she has sex with. Because you get the demons of whoever you have sex with. And if you've been violated by perversion, there's perversion in your life. And I explained to the husband that he needed to get delivered. And then, because if two people are married and one of them has made an idol out of sex, I can tell you the other one's not interested. Because God's not going to let you have your idol. So for there to be balance in the marriage, they both need to get delivered. And then it'd be normal. But he was used to a woman that was very sexually active because of all the demons that were working in her. So you get the demons of whoever you have sex with. So I want you to go. So let's do this again. Lord, in Jesus' name, show me every person that I've ever violated, or who's ever violated me, or any animal, or any pornography I've looked at. And the Satanists make the pornography. So there's all kind of curses that's sent on whoever looks at it. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for every sexual encounter. I forgive anyone who has taken advantage of me, or forgive me for taking advantage of anyone else. Forgive me for everything that I've done with any person you show me. Lord, I break the curses of incest, and I put that under the blood of Jesus. I break curses of illegitimacy. I put that under the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I forgive myself. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. I ask you to cleanse me from all defilement by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with every person I've ever sexually been involved with, and every animal, every person I've ever looked at in pornography. I break soul ties with them. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I come against every demonic power that came in through sexual sin. I break curses of bestiality. In Jesus' name, I command the spirits of any animals that have come in, even generationally. In Jesus' name, I command all the demons that every person they've been involved with to leave now. I command fornication to go. I command orgies, sodomy, oral sex, anal sex. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break the power of homosexuality, lust. I break the power of perversion in the name of Jesus, whoredoms, harlotry. In Jesus' name, I break the power of prostitution. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of sensuality. I break the power of seduction. I cut with the sword of the Spirit every tie of pornography that would reel them back in. I bind and break every word, curse, spell, expex, charm, incantation, divination, assault, assignment, attachment, voodoo, magic, black magic, sorcery, curses of poverty, curses that they'll always be hooked to pornography or sexual sin. I break the power of those curses in the name of Jesus. I break every satanic ritual exercised over every person that's ever been involved in it. In Jesus' name, I command you to go now, in Jesus' name. All defilements, you have to go. I cut their body parts with the sword of the Spirit off every person. In Jesus' name, I come against masturbation. I come against fantasy lust. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go now, in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break the power of the lie that sex is sin, that sex is love. In Jesus' name, it's an expression of love between married people, not through any whoring relationship. Go, in Jesus' name. I break the power of it. And Lord, we stand up in our bloodline and we put that under the blood of Jesus. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of everything we've confessed. We break soul ties with our forefathers. Are y'all praying with me? I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, lift your hands and ask God to give you a spiritual shower in the name of Jesus and clothe you with robes of righteousness. All defilement has to go. In Jesus' name, we decree they're clean. We remit their sin. In the name of Jesus, we break your power over every life. In Jesus' name, we come against spirits of homosexuality, adultery, fornication. Go, in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now go and sin no more. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him, our mighty God we serve. And Lord, we decree times of refreshment has come in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the food. We thank you for another day of wonderful food here in America. God, we just don't take it for granted. We just thank you for it. We ask you to bless it, purify it, sanctify it. And Lord, bless our water. We just thank you for showing us through Sandy that we need to bless the water. In Jesus' name, we bless the water we drink. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, that everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If received with thanksgiving, and we do receive it with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.